All right, Church at Southside family, good morning. Anybody want to praise God for the beautiful day? Say amen. Woo! Anybody want to praise God for the sunshine? Say amen. Yes. Anybody want to praise God for some gospel birds? Say amen. Oh, I love fried chicken day at the Church at Southside. So sisters and brothers, we welcome you. We're going to spend some time in the Word today, so I'd love for you to just gather around or just wherever you are. We're going to take some time to study God's Word today. So we welcome you, we bless you, and look forward to some time in God's Word today. I wanted to share just a story from, it's probably been about a month, maybe 6 weeks ago. I know when we meet here together, sometimes we have bad weather, and a lot of times people ask, well, what do you do if it rains or if it's really cold? And I love the answer. We say we get wet and, you know, we put on layers and that we still get together. So about 6 weeks ago was one of those days where we were expecting rain and we didn't, you know, whenever rain is coming, we don't want to have everybody get out here and be, you know, soaking wet. So we tried to serve our meal and then just pass out supplies. We didn't really take, you know, as much time to go over scripture formally, but I would argue that getting together, sharing, breaking bread, that is just as important and can be church. But one of the things that I loved is that morning, I was sitting and talking with Keith and a person, and this person may be in the audience today. I don't know who it was. It was one of those days where everybody was bundled up and understand that. But he said, you know, I really do love the food that you all serve. I really do appreciate the supplies that are handed out. But what I love most is the time in the Word. What I love most is the time in the Word. And that heart was just wonderful. So we're going to dig into the scripture today. And I want to try to just share the sermon in one sentence. And I hope that it helps. And it's just three words, okay? The sermon in a sentence is take your stand. Take your stand. Can y'all say that with me on the count of three? One, two, three. Take your stand, okay? We're going to end up in Ephesians 6, but I want to begin by introducing this in a way that hopefully will make sense as we get into the scripture. So, I don't know about you, but when life gets hard, and life gets hard for us all, and when circumstances get tough, and circumstances get tough for us all, I've been around folks, and at times, I confess, I've had this harder mindset where we might blame God. And the thought I've heard and sometimes entertained is, well, God knows everything, and it kind of comes from a good place. God is sovereign, and so because he knows everything, and because he is sovereign, and because I'm going through this difficult circumstance and trial, it's his fault. He's the one that caused this to happen to me. And when you read scripture, if you look at the longest book in the Old Testament, the longest book in the Bible, Psalms, you see people sometimes ask questions of God. They say, where are you, God? Why is life so difficult and why is life so hard? And it's okay to ask those questions. God doesn't frown on that. In fact, I think that's one way that we can honor God is to come to him with how we feel, with the way that we think things are. But to blame God for our circumstance and situation, I want to just ask, is that consistent with Scripture? Is that what Scripture teaches? And that's a good principle for all of us. Whenever we have questions about God or about life or anything, go to the Scripture. Go to God's Word. And we just finished, before we got into Ephesians, going through the book of James. And I want to remind you of a Scripture that we looked at in James that says this in relation to that question. It says, let no one say, when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth to death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Sisters and brothers, this is the word of God for the people of God. May all of God's people say amen. So this scripture teaches us, when bad things happen, when temptations come, it's not from God. That's what scripture says. This is not coming from God. Well, if it's not coming from God, where is it coming from? Well, this scripture, and it's scripture talking, and it's speaking directly to me as well, says, you know, we're pretty good at finding evil and finding sin ourselves, right? Can anybody relate to that? I mean, if I'm honest, if I'm true about who I am, it's kind of in my nature. I don't need a lot of help to find sin. I don't need a lot of help to find the evil path or to find the wrong path. Amen. That's just the way we're kind of wired. So I don't think when James was sharing this and from the heart of God, we don't need to hear guilt or shame in that. It's just the way that it is. It's the way that we our nature is. It's our nature. So we know, if we're honest with ourselves, that we have desires, and sometimes those desires are not on the right path or are not of God's choice, and we choose the wrong path and we choose the wrong way. And sometimes that, according to Scripture, can lead to sins. And then those sins do and eventually can lead to, and sometimes, physical death. Now, sin does not need to lead to spiritual death, amen, because of Jesus Christ, and that's the good news. But we can't blame God for these evil circumstances and situations, these difficulties. Sometimes we get into these circumstances and situations ourselves by the choices we made. But remember what James says, don't be deceived. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights. So God's heart for you and God's heart for me is good. God's heart for you and God's heart for me is perfect. It's not evil. It's not temptation. It is not coming from God. Sometimes it comes from our own choices. But what about things like this past week where a tornado hit? I went to go pick up my son Friday from, he was at a play date with some of his friends, and their house was right in the path of one of the tornadoes that happened earlier this week. And they were good James Spann followers. They got a mattress and put, you know, the bicycle helmet on. They respected the polygon. Amen. You got to respect it. And what, you know what she did? She started praying. And she started asking God, keep us safe from this storm. Now, she didn't cause the storm. I guess, you know, God didn't cause the storm. This was a work of, I would suggest, the evil one. Whenever there's evil things that are occurring, we've got to draw our attention and focus our energies towards the evil one. In our story, in his story, in the bigger story, there is a purpose of good and there is a purpose of evil. And whenever things, difficulties, circumstances, challenges, let's give our attention and our focus and put our attention and our love on God, and so we can stand up against the evil one. So the point today is take your stand. Say it with me. Take your stand. And that brings us to Ephesians 6, where we have been studying in this gospel, in this book for several months. And as Paul is ending this letter to the Ephesians, and there's been so much wisdom in here, he just reminds us, you know, a lot of times when you're finishing up a letter that you've written to people that you love, you want to place special emphasis. And so Paul says this, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We might put it like this, take your stand. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to what? To stand. That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. This is such a true scripture. Listen to this, Ephesians 6:12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, and against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Did you hear the truth of this scripture, friends? We are at war. We are at war with the enemy. We are at war with the evil one. And it isn't interesting that one of the biggest tactics of the evil one is to get us to fight each other, for us to wrestle against flesh and blood. I've got a truth of scripture from you. Your sister and brother is not your enemy. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood. We do not wrestle against each other. That's why at the church at Southside, every week we say, no matter where you've been, what you've done, what you are doing, or what you will do, you still have a seat at the table, because that is the truth of who you are and who we are because of Jesus Christ. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood. That is not where the fight is. And if that is not where the fight is, then where is the fight? It is against the evil one. It is against the principalities, the powers. Friends, sisters, and brothers, there are forces and things that are going on in the spiritual realm that we do not understand, that we cannot explain, that I don't know how to tell you about, but it's the truth of the story that we're caught up in. And it is that place, and it is in that realm that we've got to give our attention, and we've got to take our stand. So in this fight, Jesus does not leave us alone. And he says, just make sure that you know the truth of this battle. It's not against your sister. It's not against your brother. Now, your sister or your brother may be under the influence of the evil one, but they are not the enemy. The enemy is the one that is at work in their life to cause these difficult circumstances and situations. And so, Paul says, take up the whole armor of God. I want you to envision a Roman soldier. And he goes through every single part of the armor that is necessary to take our stand against the evil one. And the good news is, sisters and brothers, we can win, not by our own strength, not by our own power, but by the power of God if we choose to equip ourselves with what Paul is telling us here. And so he says in verse 14 of Ephesians 6, stand, take your stand, therefore, take your stand, having girded your waist with truth. So one of the ways we fight the enemy is through truth. Well, what does that mean? It's the truth of who we are because of Jesus Christ. It's the truth of what God has shown us, that we are daughters, that we are sons, that we are his, that his heart for us is good, that he wants good for us. And if that is true, what do you think is the tactic of the enemy? He wants to lie to you. He wants to say, this circumstance, this difficulty, this situation, it's from God. It's not from the evil one. It's from God. Well, that is not true. So we have got to stand. We've got to take our stand and armor up with truth, with the truth of Scripture, with the truth of what we know that Jesus is. Jesus is the perfect representation of God on earth. So if we see Jesus doing it, we know that is truth. We know that that's the right way to be. That's the right way to go. So we've got to take our stand in truth. Over our hearts, we've got to put on what Paul says, the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate, the things that guard your, the thing that guards your heart is righteousness. And you might say, well, I'm not feeling very righteous this morning. The things I've done last night, the things that I've struggled through this week, you can't call that righteous. And that may be true, but one of the weapons of God is not just righteousness in action. It does involve that, but the core word of righteousness means right relatedness. Right relatedness. So regardless of what you have done, what you are doing, or what you will do, God's heart is for you, and he wants to relate to you. And if your heart is open to him, you can walk and you can put on righteousness, not of your own strength, but right relatedness. You've got to be reminded, and I've got to be reminded, the truth of who I am. And the truth of who I am is that I am loved by God. His heart is for me. His love covers all of my sins, my transgressions, my failures. And because of that, not of my own strength and power, because of that truth, I can be righteous. I can stand in righteousness. So take your stand. The thing that covers our feet is, I love this, the preparation of the gospel of peace. Brothers and sisters, sisters and brothers, everywhere we go, every step we take needs to reflect gospel, which means what? Good news. What's that good news? Jesus is for us. He has died for us and we are his. And it is the gospel of peace. It's the gospel of peace. It's not the gospel of war, of fighting. Whenever we see people of God, we should see peace. People that attempt to reflect peace, kindness, goodness. Take your stand in peace. And above all, take on the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all of the fiery darts of the wicked one. Have you ever thought of yourself like this, that the wicked one has his fiery darts aimed at you? Does it feel like that sometimes? Goodness gracious, it feels like that. And he could have just said darts, right? But it's fiery darts. It's darts that are meant to hit and then explode, expand into all areas of our lives. That is the way the enemy works. He wants to take one thing and explode it and make it difficult and challenging and tough for you. But we have what Jesus arms us with, which is the shield of faith. And I've got some good news for you, sisters and brothers. I'm not going to talk a lot about this, but we are going to talk a lot about faith in this next season at the church at Southside. So buckle up. We're going to be exploring what that means. But Paul calls us to take the shield of faith with which you can quench all of the fiery darts of the wicked when we can take our stand. And the helmet of salvation, the thing that covers our head, is the knowledge and the truth that we are saved. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So we, because of Jesus, have weapons where we can take our stand against the evil one. So my call to myself and my call to you today is let's take our stand. Let's armor up, praying always with every prayer and supplication of the Spirit, being watchful to the end with all the perseverance and supplication for all the saints. This is the call of God for us today. Do you believe it? If you believe it, say amen. Do you receive it? If you receive it, say amen. Let's pray and let's ask God for his help as we walk together this week. Will you join me in prayer? Father, we love you, we bless you, and we thank you for who you are. I thank you for every person that is in our parking lot today. I love the church at Southside. I love this church family. Whether someone's been here for one time or 100 times, we are family. We are your body. And I thank you for every person that is here today. I thank you for the good gospel bird that we've enjoyed and the food that's filled our stomachs. That is a gift and a blessing from you. You have done that, and we're grateful. I pray that the provision that we pass out in just a minute is a reminder to every person that they are seen, as Keith has prayed, that they are known, and that they are loved. May every gift that is given today be a reflection of the gift of the Father of Lights, that good and perfect gift that you're longing to give to us. Father, I know that those that are hearing my voice are in difficult circumstances and situations. And God, I know because of the enemy, sometimes we say, where are you? And we might even blame you for our circumstance and situation. But I pray that through wisdom and through love and through grace, that you would show us that sometimes those things that happen and occur, yes, they are because of our own choices, and we know that there's grace for that. I praise God for amazing grace. But I pray that we will take our stand against the evil one. God, may we live out the truth this week that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, that the sister and brother that I see is not the enemy. And may we give our attention to the true enemy, the evil one, the father of lies. And may we take our stand, not in our own strength, not in our own might, because we don't have any. We need you. We need the Holy Spirit. We need the power of God to take our stand. So I pray that right now that we would armor up, that we would put on the full armor of God, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, shoes of the gospel of peace, that will take up the helmet of salvation and the shield of faith. And I pray that we would live out the truth of the Word of God, taking the fight to the enemy. We don't do that in arrogance, for we know that our enemy is strong, but we do that knowing that he has been defeated. And we take our faith and we put our hope in the one who has defeated the enemy. And we long for the day where you will put all things under your feet, including the enemy. And we take our stand. And I pray that you would help us to direct our attention against the enemy, to resist the devil, to submit to God, and we know that he will flee from us. So God, help us to armor up, help us to get ready for the battle, and we put our faith and our hope and our trust in you for victory because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is where we place our faith today. May all of God's people join me in saying together, amen. We love you and bless you today.